I invite you to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 15 through 21, but really where our focus will then be verses 19 through 21. So this is the second week of a two-week series on song worship, as we are praying toward and looking for a part-time worship leader and anticipating in the not-too-distant future a full-time worship leader. I thought it would be good for us to take some time and look to the Scripture and think through what it means to sing songs in church. What are we doing when we sing? And so we looked at a passage last week and in Colossians, and so this week Ephesians chapter 5. Again, I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and we have Bibles for you. If you do not have a Bible, we would love for you to pick up a copy as our gift to you there in the vestibule over in the overflow area as well. If you are able, would you please stand in honor of the reading of this portion of Scripture? Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Thank you. The Spirit-filled life and singing. As always, let's ask the Lord to help us during our study today. Father, again, we gather as your people, as your church, as your children. Once again, we have the opportunity not only to sing and to pray, but to gather around your word, the eternal, living, true, infallible, precious word of God, where you have revealed your will, you have revealed yourself, you have revealed salvation, you have revealed your Son, you have revealed, Lord, everything we need for life and for salvation, even down to how we worship. So we approach your word, Father, with great thankfulness and with humility and with an eagerness, Father, to hear from you, to hear you speak to our hearts. We ask you to speak. We ask you to work in our lives under the ministry of your Spirit, attending to your word. We pray that the things that are said today would be faithful and accurate to your word. Guard us, Father, from our minds wandering or obstacles, Father, in our thinking as we seek, Father, to better our worship in terms of aligning our hearts and aligning our singing and aligning our church with what you have revealed to us in your word. So we're asking, Father, that we would not get in the way of what you are doing. And so help us, Father. Settle our hearts and our minds and give us a great love for Christ, a great hunger and thirst for your word. and accomplish your will today, Father. We're going to be talking about singing, but there's so much more as we're gathered here today, Father, that you are aware of, that through your word and through the gathering of your people that you will be working. And so we just ask you to build your church for your glory, and we're going to give you the praise for it. In Christ's name, amen. So last week, again, we looked at a passage in Colossians 3, and Paul uses this same term, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And our main takeaway from that passage, if you recall last week, we looked at that passage and we said, you know, we should really decide, we should commit to set aside our preferences and set aside our categories of traditional and contemporary, and instead let's pursue a vision, a biblical vision and goal. Biblically rooted song worship. Let's adopt new categories that we can root in the scripture, that we can define by using the scripture rather than using categories that we simply define by our preference or our generational peer group. Let's use categories like maybe older songs, newer songs, the best songs. Instead of trying to soothe everyone's preference of style when we gather to worship, let's rather choose songs that have the best words, the choicest lyrics. What we mean by that is we want to see words and we want to sing words and think about words and declare words that fill us richly with God's word. Older songs and newer songs that teach us truths about God, about Christ, about the gospel. Songs that will, week in and week out, as we gather and sing them, they will realign our hearts and realign our minds, realign our focus to the Word of God and to scriptural truth. So we're looking for songs, no matter what accompaniment, no matter if what modern category they may fall in, but we're looking for songs that have words that will bury good, solid, biblical doctrine deep in our hearts. Songs that will lift up Christ, songs that will magnify God, songs that continue to declare the gospel. Let's sing those songs. Old or new, whatever style, whatever accompaniment, because Christian singing, it's about the words. It's the words that matter. It's what we are saying. What we are singing is what we are saying that we believe. So let's make sure that we are singing the deep, rich treasure of God's word. Now, this week in Ephesians, we find Paul using that same list of songs, so it must have been a common expression then. He says it again, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In other words, all of them. Don't leave out any. All of them. But here we find a little bit of a different context, a little bit of a different emphasis in this passage. The point Paul is making is a call for us as believers to be filled with the Spirit of God. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit of God? It means walking in the Spirit of God and not in our flesh, in our own way. It means for the Spirit of God to be primary in our lives and instead of self. It means to be overflowing with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, rather than sin. And then Paul, when he calls us to be filled with the Spirit in verse 18. Then throughout verses 19 through 21, He begins to describe for us. He begins to tell us what that would look like. And he begins to use participles then. The ing words are describing for us that command, be filled with the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? What do you do if you're being filled with the Spirit or pursuing, we would say, a Spirit-filled life? Paul gives us four things. He uses five of these words, giving us four things. Number one, he says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's one. Singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. That's two. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's three. And four, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So when Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, in his mind at least, the first things that kind of pop into his mind when he sees a Spirit-filled church, a Spirit-filled believer, is he sees these things. He thinks these things. He gives us these things to pursue as we are pursuing being filled with the Spirit of God. Notice that at least three out of the four of these are in the context of congregational life. One another. One another. The Spirit-filled life has so much more to do with our corporate life than we realize. We made this point last week. Coming together on Sunday to worship the Lord and other times that we are together as brothers and sisters in Christ has a far greater impact on our spiritual life than we realize. God is working His Spirit during these times, during these moments when we are gathered together, when we are one another. Corporate worship has always been a primary context where God's grace is abundantly flowing and at work within our lives. Coming to church, being involved, participating in church, participating in worship. And it's not about legalism. It's not about you should come to church because that's what you are supposed to do. If that's why you come to church, you're actually coming for the wrong reason. A legalistic understanding. If you feel guilty when you're not in church because you've been told church is what you do on Sunday and you didn't come and therefore you feel like you got to come up with some kind of excuse to tell everybody, some kind of reason to get rid of that guilt, that's actually not the reason to be here. Of course, the other side of the coin is if you're not here and it doesn't bother you at all, that's not healthy either. That's not right either. It's not about legalism, though. It's not about showing up just to be here. It's about life. Be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord, giving thanks to God, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's about gathering together. It's about life in the Spirit, life in this world, but not of this world. Gathering together is when the Lord equips and edifies and builds His church. And one more observation we need to note is when we look at these four descriptions from Paul of being filled with the Spirit, we begin to observe a direction of corporate worship. In each of these four, you can really divide these four into two groups. One group is for one another, and one group is for God. Addressing one another, submitting to one another, both of those have an outward focus. In other words, our individual worship, when we are here as individuals and we are gathered to worship in this corporate setting, our worship is a blessing to those around us, those who are here with us, those who are in worship. We are addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And in our church life together, we are submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. There's an outward focus. But then there's an upward focus. Singing and making melody to the Lord, giving thanks to God. There's an upward focus of our worship. God is our audience. We are singing to Him. We are giving thanks to Him. In fact, that's why, again, from last week, we said we can't help but sing as believers, because God is our audience, and because of who He is and all He's done for us in Christ and will do for us for eternity, we cannot help but declare and give thanks and make melody. None of these, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, and none of these are inward focused or me focused, are they? None of these are concerned with what I feel or what I like or what I prefer, but every one of them is either outward for one another, that is, for the good of one another, or upward to the glory of God. And that's the perspective. That's the atmosphere of and for our worship. Now, let's look now at how our worship leads us to this Spirit-filled life. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Number one, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. A Spirit-filled church sings to one another. Again, you got to be together to do that. If you're going to address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you got to be together to do that. You got to gather together, corporate worship, congregational singing. Christian singing, again, we saw last week, is foremost congregational activity. So this is a whole different thing, isn't it, than popping in the earbuds and going on a walk and listening to your favorite Christian song. As wonderful as that may be, and as edifying as that may be for you. But this is something different, isn't it? Paul is here highlighting the central role that congregational singing takes in the surrendering of our lives to the leading of the Spirit of God in our lives. There's something about being together in congregational worship, singing the best songs, affirming the truth of God to one another as we declare these things, that build our lives up in the Spirit of God, that fill us with God's Spirit. In our private worship, we are alone, and there's the Bible calls us to these times to be alone with God, to get in that prayer closet and spend time just you and the Lord. But the Bible also calls us to gather together, because in our congregational worship, we are uplifting one another. We are uplifted in the prayer closet. We uplift others in the congregation. When we sing these best songs, we declare as a unified voice. All of our different voices come together for one song, unified voice. And we are saying, when we sing these things, we are saying we believe these things. We believe these things to be true. We together, not just me individually in my prayer closet, but me gathered with each one of you, we all affirm these things. We cherish these things. We cling to these things. These are the things we live by. This is what gets us through Monday. This is what gets us through the cancer treatments. This is what gets us through the graveside ceremony. We stand on these things. We declare these things. We embrace these things. This is the eternal gospel, the glory of God, salvation in Christ. And when we come together, all of our voices become one. We sing together. This is who we are. Congregational song worship is a declaration of who we are as a church. There's a special blessing when we declare God's word together. We understand we're not alone. We understand we are connected. We are an entire body. We are a group of brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm not the only one singing these words because I'm not the only one who believes them. The church believes them to be true. It's not just me singing, but he's singing and she's singing and they are singing because we hold these things to be dear. We are in this together. We all believe, therefore we all sing. We would also want to note that being filled with the Spirit is connected to the kinds of songs we sing, isn't it? That's why Paul, again, lists this list of songs. He doesn't say, address one another in songs, but address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Just getting together and singing doesn't produce Spirit-leaning in our lives. I mean, we could get together and sing Luke Combs and Post Malone songs, but they would not edify us as a body. We'd have to sing the clean versions, right? It might be fun, but it would not be filling of the Spirit. That's why we want to sing the best songs when we do assemble. And he lists these psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. What's a psalm? Well, a psalm, generally speaking, psalms are songs about God and his character. Songs that say who God is and how God acts and describe his attributes and his relating to his people, his relating to his creation, his relating to those who are against him and his enemies. And we've been studying the Psalms on Sunday evenings. These Psalms that continuously declare the steadfast love of the Lord, the mercies of the Lord, the power and sovereignty of God, the faithfulness of God. Tonight we're going to look at Psalm 59. God is our strength. Generally, a psalm is declaring God and who he is. Hymns are generally songs that glory in Christ and the gospel. Hymns tell of the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ. Hymns take you verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. They tell a story, usually about Christ. Birth, life, death, resurrection. Sometimes about the gospel, who we are before Christ, coming to Christ, life in Christ. Hymns tell of and announce how the gospel transforms our lives, how the gospel fills us with faith, how because of the gospel we now have hope and joy and the promise of eternal life. Spiritual songs generally sing of how the gospel is informing and directing our lives as believers. They often sing about the church. They often sing about faith through trials. They often sing about the certainty of our salvation in upheaval and uncertain times. It's when we come together and sing these kinds of songs, we affirm together, we are addressing one another, we are declaring to one another, this is what we believe, this is who we are, these are the truths that we are grounded in, that we stand upon, that we live by. And when we sing those kinds of songs, we are filled with the Spirit of God. We should leave each time we gather, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible study, whatever it might be, each time we leave, we should leave having a sense of being filled with the Spirit of God. Secondly, a Spirit-filled church sings to the Lord. So we're addressing one another, but we're singing to the Lord at the same time. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Our songs are addressing one another in the sense that we all identify with these truths. We agree with these truths. We affirm these truths. We are building and encouraging one another up by declaring these together. But we sing to the Lord. He takes center stage. He has the spotlight. Our worship is about Him, about who He is, about all that He's done for us in Christ. About all that He is for us in Christ. And when we sing to Him, notice Paul says, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Not just going through the motions, right? Not just from the head. We're not just seeing words on a screen and they're just kind of filtering through and falling out of our mouths. But they are erupting from within the heart. We see those words that identify the God whom we believe, the Christ whom has saved us, the gospel that has set us free. And something inside of us cannot be held back. It's from our heart. It's to the Lord. Those words are speaking great, eternal, life-giving, soul-saving truth. This is doctrine we believe. This is the Christ we have embraced. This is the gospel by which we live. Christian singing comes from the heart, not the hymnal. The heart. It's about the words. It's about the truths we are declaring. It's not only congregational in the sense that addressing one another, in the sense that we all are believers and so forth, therefore we are all singing, but it's also from the heart, meaning that when we sing, we are rejoicing in these things. We are announcing these things. We sing. We are singing with everything that is within us. If God has truly translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son, when we sing that, it comes from the heart. We are the redeemed. Let us sing so with everything that is in us. Shane plays the piano well, doesn't he? I love to hear him play. He does a phenomenal job. But when we as believers get together and we begin to sing these songs, our voices should drown out the piano. Our voices should drown out the instruments, whatever they may be. Because we are singing and declaring about things that we are saying have happened to us. A hope that we have, a gospel that sustains us, a truth that's carrying me through this life. He should have a hard time keeping up with us, right? We should be tuning that thing every other week. The things that we sing are too precious not to sing from the heart. Thirdly, a spirit-filled church gives thanks to God. Addressing one another, singing to the Lord, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father. That's what's happening in the heart, by the way. That's why we're singing from the heart. It's coming from a thankfulness, a gratefulness. That we know these things, that we have trusted in these things, that God has transformed our lives. That's why we are singing to the Lord from the heart. We are giving thanks to God always and for everything. God is so mighty and He has proven Himself to be our strength. He's so faithful and He has proven Himself time and time again in His faithfulness to us. He's so good and He's proven Himself good to us. The gospel is so great and it has actually recreated us into a new creation. It's raised us from the deadness in our sins. It's seated us in the heavenly places in Christ. There's nothing like the gospel. There's no one like Christ. He has taken our sin, paid our debt, reconciled us to the Father. He has given us a righteous standing before God that now we are justified in the sight of God, welcomed into His very presence. Not to mention all the thousands of ways, the hundreds of ways God in His mercy and grace has been daily sustaining and meeting and providing and answering and caring and watching and protecting. All of these things that God is and that God is for us is really undergirding. That's why we're singing from the heart. That's why we can't help but sing. That's why we come together to sing together, address one another these ways. But this actually tells us something about the nature of corporate worship, doesn't it? Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Christ that we even get to the Father. We even know the Father, are reconciled to the Father. This tells us something about the very essence of what corporate singing, congregational singing, is actually about. Singing to the Lord, giving thanks to God. When we declare these truths of Scripture together in song, we are responding to God, giving thanks to God, singing to God from a thankful heart, from the heart to God. We are actually, in our song, we are responding to God. We're responding to His grace, responding to His gospel, responding to Christ. We are declaring who He is and all that He has done. Sometimes I hear worship leaders and Christians talking about song worship, and many times when they describe it, they're describing it in the wrong direction. As if our singing, we are trying to get a response from God. When our singing is a response to God, our worship is responding to God for what He has already done and who He is. Sometimes I've heard worship leaders speak of creating an environment for worship. Things like, let's make sure we dim the lights right at this transition in this song. Let's make sure the instruments are playing soft here and then playing loud here. Let's sing in decrescendo and then in crescendo. Let's sing the same line over and over and over again until we kind of are moving back and forth, and let's have people raise their hands. Let's move around a little. Let's sway a little. Let's get everything going. And if the audience really gets into it and really follows and does everything we're telling them to do, then the Lord will move. Then the Lord will do something. And you know when the Lord's moved, right? Because you have an emotional experience and a few goosebumps. And if that doesn't happen, you haven't worshiped. That's how we define worship many times. Listen to me carefully. God hasn't called us to create an environment. He's already created the environment. He sent His Son into the world that we might be saved. That's the environment. Worship is not attempting to get God to do something. God has moved. Worship is our response to His grace. Worship is not trying to get God's attention. We worship because God has gotten our attention. Worship is for the believer. We come together and sing these truths about God because we know who He is. We can't help but sing. We sing because we're happy. We sing because we're free. His eye is on the sparrow, and we know he watches me. Giving thanks to God, singing and making melody to the Lord from the heart, being filled with the Spirit. Fourthly, a Spirit-filled church submits to one another. That's the fourth one, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit as a congregation, addressing one another in these kinds of songs, singing to the Lord, giving thanks to God through Christ, and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. By the way, if you leave out that part, if you leave out that focus, we'll never submit to one another. We have to understand what's driving us, what moves us, what aids us in our submitting to one another is that it's out of reverence for Christ. So it's beyond one another, and again, it's to the Lord. As always, we as believers, we are to submit to one another in all realms of life. And in fact, in the very next verses, if you look right down in verse 22, Paul immediately goes into the homes of believers, doesn't he? That's one of the hardest areas to submit to one another, in the home. And he talks to wives, and he talks to husbands, and he talks to children. That's where the rubber meets the road in the Christian life. What's happening in the home is they're submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ in the home. So Paul immediately goes right to the home. But then that submitting to one another, he's not just talking about husbands and wives and children and parents. That's the example he's using because that's often the place that it's hardest to put that into practice. But submitting to one another, he's talking about everyone. He's talking about the whole church out of reverence for Christ. So it branches out to every area of our life. So when it comes to singing in the church, what would it look like? Think about this in light of last Sunday's message and what we're seeing here in this text in Ephesians, then what would it look like if we were submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ in our congregational singing? As I think about that, I would think at the very least it would look something like this, or it would sound something like this. If singing this song edifies you, if singing this song encourages you, strengthens you in the faith, encourages you to sing, to give thanks to God, to sing to the Lord, if this song, I don't care how it's played or what it's played on, but if this song is encouraging and enabling you to worship, then let's sing this song. I'll sing this song with you. Let's address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let's sing this song together. Remember the direction here, what we're learning in this passage. The direction is outward and upward. Outward and upward. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Outward, submitting to one another. Upward out of reverence for Christ. So last week, the lesson for us was set aside our preferences. Let's adopt biblical categories for our singing. This week, the lesson is about focus and perspective. May our singing first be to the glory of God. First, let it be to the glory of God. Second, let it be to the good of one another. And when our singing is this way, may our church then be a church filled with the Spirit of God. Each and every time we gather, may we leave filled rather than empty. Let's pray. Father, as it turns out, what we sing and how we sing and why we sing really does matter for one another, for the church, and for our life in the Spirit. Lord, we come to you as a local body, a local expression of the universal body of Christ, your people, and we just submit to you, Father, that you might be the direction of all of our worship, song worship, prayer worship, preaching worship, giving worship, baptism, Lord's Supper, whatever we do when we gather. Lord, may it be to you and for one another and filled with the Spirit of God. Help us to submit to one another in that way, to set aside ourselves in that way, and first and foremost pursue you. And if we all do that, we're going to land exactly where the Scripture's pointing us, edifying one another and exalting Christ. Lord, do a work in our lives that our worship might be pleasing to you as we respond to you.
You have been listening to the sermon ministry of Will Owens, pastor of Grassy Pond Baptist Church, Gaffney, South Carolina. Be sure to visit willowens.com to hear more sermons, read blogs, and learn more about the missions branch P67 Missions. Again, thank you for listening to Will Owens.